Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tom Brady appeared on the Deep Cut podcast and was asked if he would pick up the phone if a team called him in the event of injury sometime next season. Here was his answer.
I'm not opposed to it. If they would, I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner in the NFL team, but I don't know if... I'm always going to be in good shape, always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Keyshawn, your thoughts on what Tom Brady said?
Well, number one, he's not going to always be in shape to go play football. So he'll turn 47 years old in August.
Yeah.
As far as a team calling him if they lose a quarterback, it's got to be a situation that makes sense for him and them. San Francisco 49ers comes to mind. If they're in a situation where they're, you know, week 13 and they look like they're getting ready to get the number one seed and they're getting ready to lock it all up, that may make sense to do if their backup quarterback, whoever that is at the time, doesn't look like it, and if Brady looks like he can still play. Other than that, there's no real, you know, like the Kansas City Chiefs, if that situation was ever come up, what else is left? They're not going to, if Baltimore won't fit, they're not going to all of a sudden just turn everything they're doing with Lamar into Tom Brady in 4 weeks. That's not going to work. So you start trying to think what teams could do that that makes all the sense in the world. Because the Rams, if all of a sudden the Rams are the number one seed and something happens and Matthew Stafford in week 14.
Mm-hmm.
But in all
that,
in
that
all,
might be a Sean McVay special. He might try that.
That might be something like that. Mm-hmm. But I don't think Tom Brady would even do it, though. It's a good conversation.
It is.
Basketball is totally different. Michael Jordan was totally different. When Mike got on the court, it's 82 games to get into basketball shape. It's different in football. Basketball, they're going to allow Mike to go to the cup. They're going to try, but then for the most part, they're going to allow him to score. They're not going to allow Tom Brady to drop back and throw the football. They're going to try to go get him. And when you're removed from football for two seasons, it's different than being removed from basketball for two seasons.
Yeah.
It's just a different sport. and I don't think that he would do it anyway. I just don't think he would.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up the Jordan situation. Very different than what Tom was describing or the question asked to him, because Jordan had been out for 3 years. He was very close with the owner in Washington who said, please come here and give us some credibility and be the general manager and effectively the head coach and play. And do it just for us. Just do it for fun.
Yeah.
And Mike went there for fun, just to have fun and see if he could build the team, rebuild the team. And he knew they weren't going to be very good, although I'm sure in his heart of hearts he's thinking maybe we could pull something off, maybe we could make a miracle here. But they had two sub-500 teams. And to your point, he played the regular season, but there was no playoffs to be had. So he averaged 20-6. And it wasn't great, but he had earned the right to do that because he was having fun with it. Well, that's completely different. We're talking about Super Bowl or bust kind of situation where you'd go to the one seed, right?
Yeah. Otherwise, why would you go?
I don't know, because there wouldn't be any reason.
Yeah, I'm not going to play for the Carolina Panthers because they call.
No.
You know, or some team that doesn't have a chance. That's why I mentioned, like, San Francisco in a Kansas City. You know, I don't know who else. You know, is there a Houston Texans that could wrap up the number one seed and then all of a sudden something happens and they're looking for a quarterback that could get them
but to your
to the
point,
finish line.
They've groomed a backup quarterback to know the offense and to be in the meetings day after day after day, and you'd feel that he'd be more up to speed on what you're doing. Throwing Tom into that fire, it would be pretty it'd be pretty risky, right?
Yeah, and think about it. When he left New England and went to New England, and when he left New England and went to Tampa Bay, it wasn't at the end or the middle of the season.
Nope.
It was before the season even started. It was in the offseason. So he had time to gel with the teammates. They had a time to understand who he was. He had time to get in rhythm with Mike Evans and company to understand what that was all about.
Absolutely.
And bring in AB and Gronk and Fournette and them. It was just a different situation. But it's a good conversation to have.
It
piques everybody's interest because here you are, one of the better quarterbacks to ever play the game, talking about, well, I haven't completely hung him up, but I completely hung him up. But if there's something that's out there that makes sense, then maybe I'll take a sneak peek at
it. Hypothetically, if a team did call in a great situation, could he do it at the highest level? I believe he could. I do believe he stays in great shape. You said it's not quite football shape, but he can operate an offense and stay out of harm's way.
When you say at the highest level, are you talking about managing the situation?
I just think he could be Tom Brady if he decided to.
No.
Yeah?
You're talking about Tom Brady from when?
From Tampa Bay, any of those Tampa Bay years, even though a lot of people thought he didn't have a great year his final year.
It's hard, Skip, when you are removed from football for two seasons. It's just hard.
But when he says, I'll always be able to throw the ball, trust me, he will.
Yeah, all quarterbacks can't. Yeah. Troy Aikman can throw it right now.
Yeah, I believe that.
But when them 300-pound linemen chasing you, you ain't getting out the way. I believe Tom can throw it. He can throw it with the best of them to this day. Still to this day, he can throw it. Joe Montana can throw the football. But when they coming at you and they trying to get you on the ground, it's just different. You know, it's a different situation. I understand that he can manage. Do I think he can get out there, throw a slip screen here, throw a screen there, dink and dunk it here, there, maybe take a shot once or twice in a game?
Yep.
Yeah, he can do that. Mm-hmm. He can certainly do it. But it's not going to be to the effect that it's been in 21 years of his career.
Yeah.
It's just not going to be the same.
Okay, what did you just tell me about LeBron and AD and playoff experience, or Steph and Clay and Draymond and playoff experience? Nobody has any more experience at this, at the highest level.
Different sport in 2 years removed, Skip. Yeah. Okay. It's a different sport, and it's 2 years removed from being in football condition. He could eat all the damn avocado ice cream he want to eat. Okay.
No, I understand.
But in the end, them dudes on them edges, it's different.
Yep.
It's just a different deal. Although, he knows that.
Although all I heard the last 10 years of Tom's career is that he never gets touched. They protect him, right?
It's a little bit different. See, you got to go in to a situation where you don't really know the protections, right? He can get up to speed on understanding the protections, but he don't know his left tackle in week one. I don't know if he's going to fan out, if he's going to close down, if he's going to hard step and push the dude 3 yards behind me. I have no idea at the quarterback spot.
You're right.
It's so difficult.
Right.
It's difficult.
All right. What I found poignant about this is I have worked over my many years in this profession with dozens of ex-players, many of them in their first year out of football.
Mm-hmm.
That I may be in triple digits working with ex-NFL stars early in their removal from the game they played since they were 5 years old. And now we're talking about, to me, the greatest player who ever played. And even he is showing you he's human because you went through it. It's hard. to extricate yourself from that life because it's all you knew for were you 35 when you stopped?
34.
Okay.
Yeah.
34. Okay, so Tom got all the way to 45, which shattered the mold, obviously. But it's like you have to die a living death because his life was football. He was as obsessed with football as anybody I have ever carefully covered or watched. And it's hard to let it completely go because you think, well, I could still do this. And you sit for a whole season watching other quarterbacks play and you think, well, I could do that or I could be better than that guy and probably that guy over there, right?
And Tom Brady, if it was Tom Brady, last season, this past season, Tom Brady sitting on the sidelines was probably better than 15 different quarterbacks in the NFL.
At least. Yeah.
Yeah, he probably was better than about 15 of them in the National Football League. But since then, Skip, in a two-year removal period, the league has changed drastically on what they want to do and how they want to do it.
Yeah.
That's just, it's like that. All of a sudden, you say, well, he's looking and saying, I'm better than him, better than him, better than him. That's true until you get on the field. And then once you get on the field, things slow down, but yet still they speeding up. It's a lot faster.
Yeah.
It's not as simple as, oh, I know pre-snap read, this is what's going to happen. That defensive coordinator that you played against your last year in Tampa have come up with a different scheme now to play against you. Because he's sat around and he's watched you for so long. Now all of a sudden he says, well, we're not going to let Tom Brady do that. That's just not, we're going to take that away from him.
Yeah.
It's different.
I think you're saying the game's evolved to more of a mobile quarterback. Right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely it has.
Okay. I still, where we digress on this
he
one
is. He might be the last.
He you could argue.
Last one, right?
You can't tell me that Tom in his prime wouldn't work today. I don't care how they defend him. He just.
He can work today because of the system. In the system and the coaching staff and the scheme that they put together will lend itself toward Tom's skill set. He's not walking into Baltimore. Baltimore loses Lamar Jackson and they pick up the phone to call Tom Brady. That thing is going to run like a bad truck because it's not the same scheme. They're not doing the same things. If you say, well, could he do what Kirk Cousins is doing? Yeah, he could do that. He could do that.
Yeah.
He could certainly do that, but that's a different situation.
Could he do what Dak Prescott does? Yep, he could.
They would remove the RPO because they still run a little RPO with the Rams. Not a lot, but they would remove certain things, and he could possibly do that. Now you want him on Dallas. Now you want to get rid of Dak and bring in Tom Brady off the couch.
Sean, I've tried to explain to you. I sat right here in this same chair going back to, when was it, 2019, his last year in New England, and I said, Jerry, go get him. Well, we had an opening. We could have cut bait with Dak because we were
doing Why would you cut bait with a dude that's 20... Whatever he was, 24 years old.
Because I could get the GOAT. Are you kidding me? Then what happened? What happened in 2020?
They didn't have a quarterback in Tampa.
Okay, but who
cares?
We didn't have one in Dallas either. We did not have one in Dallas. I don't care what you say. I was correct about that.
You didn't have a team that was going to the Super Bowl in Dallas either.
Well, he would have taken one look at it and said, I can do that. I can fix that.
Okay.
Well, he was the only one who said, boy, that Tampa, that cupboard is not bare in Tampa.
It was not bare. Tampa had a hard-nosed defense. Yeah. They had receivers.
They had two Pro Bowl receivers.
Yeah.
Two, not one.
They bring in Gronkowski off the streets. They add A.B. to the mix. Leonard Fournette was looking for a home.
Yep.
That's all they did. That defense played at a high level.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
But nobody saw that coming. Nobody speculated about it. Nobody.
Well, because he saw what he could do with that team.
Yeah.
And put some pieces around
it.
All you got to do is remove Jameis Winston from the equation.
That's what happened.
And you move him from the equation, you cut down the mistakes and interceptions.
It wasn't just Jameis. You just removed all those lost fumbles and all those interceptions. That's what you removed.
Yes. That's Jameis.
That's Jameis. And then they were off to the races. And the rest is Super Bowl history.
He won Tom Brady.
That could have happened in Dallas.
Stop.
Okay, well, help me out. In 2019, would you have taken Tom Brady or Dak Prescott? Help me out.
And I already have Dak Prescott?
Heck yes. I mean, it's not even close. You don't stop.
The age difference alone.
Okay, just remember, at that point, the world was down on Tom because it felt like Bill Belichick was down on Tom because they were pushing him out the door.
No, nobody with any common sense that knew football could see that Tom could still play, and the cupboard was bare in New England. Mm. You could see that. New England had, what were they out there messing around with? I couldn't even tell you the offensive skill players that they had. It was nobody. Tom Brady was the only guy on offense that they had that you look at and you go, okay, if he goes to a good situation, then he's going to be okay. That's why everybody was thinking San Francisco, San Francisco, San Francisco, because they had a good situation in San Francisco. His situation in Tampa just was better. Mm. It was better.
Nobody could envision Tom Brady in orange, right? Like, it just didn't work. And then a Super Bowl happened in his first year, and that clinched it. GOAT.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, let's talk National Football League, because here's what an NFC scouting director told ESPN about Jerry Jones and my Dallas Cowboys. Here's the quote. I don't really understand the plan there so far this offseason, but there's a lot weighing on this draft, and they seem to be confident about finding a bunch of starters. This is exactly what I've been saying on this show for a month. So, Keyshawn, how realistic is it for the Dallas Cowboys to find, I don't know, four or five immediately productive rookie starters in this draft?
They can do that.
It's a lot, man.
It's a lot, but you can do it. You usually, four or five starters that are rookies, they don't come, it just doesn't happen. There's maybe like two guys that are rookies will start.
Yeah.
But I've never seen the Dallas Cowboys try to insert four or five rookies into their starting lineup. Yeah, when you get Ezekiel Elliott, he's your starting running back. When you get a Tyron Smith, he's your starting left tackle, because where you drafted him at.
Okay.
I'm not drafting a guy in the third round to be my starter. Mm-hmm. Maybe eventually he can become a starter. If I'm drafting a certain position in the first round outside of the quarterback position, he's probably going to be my starter. Mm. If I'm taking an offensive lineman in the first round, he's probably going to wind up being my starter. If I'm taking a defensive lineman in the first round, he's probably going to be in my rotation heavily. If I take a corner in the first round, he's probably going to be in my rotation heavily. They have so many spots that they've got to plug that the rookies aren't going to necessarily help them plug those spots immediately. But you got to also think of this, man. Dallas Cowboys are low-hanging fruit for people to gossip about every single day. They just low-hanging fruit.
Okay.
Because of how they operate. Yep. So every single day, we're going to come up here, and there's going to be a topic about the Dallas Cowboys because they're always doing something.
Well, they're fun to bash,
and
right?
They're fun to bash. Yes, that is correct. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at it, the draft is in 2 weeks. Post-draft, it'll be so many players that did not get drafted, so many players that did not sign in free agency. Then there'll be other players that are being released on other teams because they drafted somebody to replace them, so they'll let them go right before minicamp. So you'll have your pickings all the way up until training camp, because there'll be people that'll be released between now and the time you start training camp. There'll be guys that you thought should be signed. Stephon Gilmore hasn't signed yet. Mm. He's still available. So you look up, and here's a guy that you know, he's available. We'll sit him out and wait a little bit longer. And then this other guy will sit out, wait a little bit longer. They're there. You have players that are available that can play the game. So this notion that they're going to draft four or five players that are rookies that will come in and start for them, no, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen at all. Maybe two, but that was always going to be the plan. Every year, there's two rookies that start that you draft. Mm. And that's just every year, every team does that. Okay. The rookie's going to start.
All right, here's what I know about Gerald Wayne Jones Jr., the owner and operator of the Dallas Cowboys. He does not want to plunge in free agency because it's too easy. for him to just throw money at this player or that player, not since Deion Sanders has he done that. And that was a very rare commodity that you were throwing a lot of money after, because it could literally change life between San Francisco and Dallas.
Game changer of the league.
Of the league and of the...
The conference, or whatever you want to call it.
But you could say of the century, of all time.
Yes.
Okay. Jerry loves the draft because Jerry runs the draft. And ultimately, Jerry has final say on these draft picks. Do I think he scouts draft picks and studies a lot of film? I do not. But Will McClay is very good at what he does, and their scouting staff is very good at what they do. And I'll throw in, their assistant coaches seem to be very good at what they do in evaluating prospects. But it's Jerry who gets final say. The buck stops on his desk. And so he can take a lot of pride and satisfaction in, I picked him, and I picked him, and I picked him, and we did this, and we moved, we went up and down in the draft. He loves that because it makes him happier. It helps build his ego and his reputation around the league, because people do know that on draft night, he is the king in their war room. He is the one with the final say. So the point is, I'm going to give you one great stat for Jerry Jones. Over the last decade, the Dallas Cowboys have drafted more Pro Bowl players who became Pro Bowl players for them than any other team in the league. They have 15 in the last 10 years. Next on the list is Baltimore with 12. So you got to give Jerry, because he's the one.
But I've always said, from a talent evaluation standpoint, Jerry's always been at the top of his game.
Okay.
Along with everybody that works with him.
Okay.
The problem is the guys on the sideline coaching him up hadn't done a good job.
That's the problem. I agree. All right. So what just happened? We lost two really good offensive linemen. You mentioned one, and then we lost our center, Tyler Biadasz. You've got to replace both of them. You have two backups who might be pretty good, but you need to draft a couple of linemen who will be pretty immediately starting for you. And is that possible? Sure, that is possible. That's probably the position that is easiest, because it seems like this draft is deepest in offensive linemen. Then you obviously need a running back. This is not a deep draft for running backs, but I think you can get a pretty good one maybe in the second round who could be a starter for you, or at least a rotational contributor for you. Then we lost Leighton Vander Esch, and he did make a Pro Bowl, but finally his neck gave way and he just couldn't go on. So we signed the immortal, Eric Kendricks from Minnesota for Coach Zim, our new defensive coordinator. That's fine. He'll be the quarterback of the defense, but we need a stud linebacker. We need somebody drafted fairly high who can step in and have some impact.
But you have a lot of needs, Skip, as I've been telling you since the season ended. You have a lot of needs. When you have a lot of needs and have a lot of things that you have to address, you have to address your own players in the finances. You cannot afford to go out there and spend money on non-Deion Sanders game changers.
You just can't
do that.
Okay. And
if you said to me, Keyshawn, we have an opportunity to go sign Aaron Donald because he wants to play for the Dallas Cowboys, but the Rams have his rights, and we are going to pick up his $35 million, and we're going to get a Rams a third-round pick to acquire him. Do you know what I would tell you? Y'all better go do that yesterday.
Thank you.
But
I agree.
A Deion Sanders type guy.
No, I'm with you.
That's a Deion Sanders type.
Okay. I should mention, they did draft that kid out of Texas, Overshown, who can be an impact linebacker, and he tore his ACL in training camp last year, so I don't know, can he bounce back and have the impact, maybe?
You know, there's a $65 million difference on your salary cap from the players that had cap numbers in 2023. Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Zach Martin, Trayvon Diggs, Terrence Steele, Trey Lance, they're now accounting for $65 million difference in an increase from a year ago.
Okay.
So that money that you think you saved by getting rid of or allowing other players to walk and getting rid of other players, that money now is cashed into these dudes.
But that's why Jerry says, give me these rookie contracts. I can fit them in. You know, I can slide them right in,
You have to.
Okay, all right, I got it. You mentioned Stephon Gilmore. Is he really coming back or not? He's made trips to Charlotte.
I don't know. It's a wait-and-see game. Yeah, okay. Because a lot of players, as you know, they get out into the open market, and a lot of times it's not there.
All right.
That they're looking for, and they come back home.
So Deron Bland could slide into his spot. Jordan Lewis could play nickel, maybe, but you probably need to draft another corner at some point in the draft. And then we lost Michael Gallup, and I'm not saying he was a game changer, but we drafted Jalen Tolbert to replace him, and I'm not sure about Jalen Tolbert. Do you need another receiver? Probably you do.
Yeah, right? But you can find a third or fourth guy.
All right, maybe. And then brings me to one swing and potential miss.
There's a lot of veteran receivers available. For that less than the number Gallup was going to make.
Okay. Mozzie Smith. They took in the first round last year. He didn't show me enough. He didn't get enough reps. He didn't get enough snaps to say, I know, but usually those guys drafted that high.
Yeah, they go and play a little more.
You just say, hey, he can play. Because they've been so good at drafting Pro Bowl players, he does not yet look like a Pro Bowl player. Is he going to snap out of it in his second year? I don't know, because all of a sudden you lost Hankins and Gallimore, and then off the edge you lost Dorrance Armstrong, and you lost Dante Fowler. So you got a bunch of holes in your pass rush rotation or just your defensive line. You better go get
one. But those guys that you mentioned are all replaceable.
Okay, but you better go get somebody who works.
And they're approaching that, Skip.
Yep.
The draft is in 2 weeks.
Okay, but I just gave you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 needs. Can you get five? Can you plug five in who can immediately start for you and be productive?
Well, they may
for
not
you?
Start, but they could be in your rotation. And those are bodies. Those guys that you're telling me aren't the reason that your defense was supposed to be lights out. That's not the reason.
You can
get bodies all day long, and I think that the Cowboys certainly could do that via the draft. And once again, there's guys in free agency that's not signed. That is low-hanging fruit that's sitting there, and they just waiting. It's all about the deal-making. Jerry wants to cut the deal, okay? You got Stephon Gilmore still out there. You have a number of wide receivers that's still out there. You got running backs that's still available.
Yeah.
Okay, it may not be your A-plus running back.
No.
But maybe you don't need an A-plus running back. Maybe you just need somebody that could fill in here and there and do some things in the run game for you.
Yeah.
You don't always have to go get the big stars. Again, I'll tell you this, Skip. Outside of Deion Sanders, there hasn't been a lot of game changers in the National Football League in free agency that all of a sudden, you signed them that year, they done took your team and got you over top. I'm not talking 3 or 4 years after they signed y'all go to the Super Bowl. I'm talking about right now.
Okay. I'm going to double down on this. This roster, as I see it right here, right now, is not a playoff team. We've lost too many. We have too many holes to fill. But you do have a draft, which you have dominated. And now, more than ever, you need to plug these holes through the draft immediately. And this is
you need a running back, another receiver.
Two offensive linemen.
But the offensive linebacker. Their offensive line is intact. They got five guys.
No, they do not. They got two backups.
They're only backups because they were backing up guys that left in free agency.
Well, do you think they're stars?
But those guys that left, everybody that left in free agency wasn't stars.
You need to draft two linemen who will plug and play.
You probably need to draft two linemen to back the guys up that you already have. Yeah. Skip?
I don't think so.
No, oh, so you don't like the backups because they're backups?
Well, I mean, I just these are undrafted guys. So
but there's a lot of guys that be undrafted that go on to have success in the National Football League.
Hey,
they miss
the quality
all the time.
Is sinking into the sunset. Trust me. All of a sudden, the Dak Prescott you love is going to be running for his life if you go with those backups.
I don't know that to be true.
Yeah,
because they may love those guys enough.
Hey.
And like them enough, that's why they let the others walk.
There's a lot of pressure on Jerry in this draft. That's what that quote is. That's what he's saying. And once upon a time, this is way before your time, the draft master, who was Gil Brandt, drafted 12 rookies in 1975, and they were called the Dirty Dozen Rookies. This is way before your time. They had 12 who plugged and played, and they went to the Super Bowl. All right?
This was like 1965, too.
Okay. To me, there is no argument, Keyshawn.
Uh-oh, what
Jordan happened? Is the GOAT. You know it, and I know it. And this man right to my right here is the GOAT in his field. It's time for Wayne's World.
Oh, man, thank
it's
you,
featuring
man.
My brother, Lil Wayne, who joins us now to talk LeBron and AD and the looming fate of his Lakers. Welcome back to studio, in studio. You awesome, were in man. Iowa. You performed last night.
Yes, I did. Day morning.
Yeah. I heard you were even bigger than Caitlin Clark in Iowa.
I shouted out Caitlin.
Did
probably,
you?
Probably
I'll bet
the
you
best
did.
Two words I said the whole
night. Right. They went nuts.
What?
They went crazy. She's the GOAT out there. She's the GOAT.
All right. It looks like the Lakers will have to win this one do-or-die game to advance in the play-in tournament just to get to the real playoffs. So the Warriors have risen into a tie for eighth with the Lakers, while the Kings have fallen into a three-way tie for eighth with the Lakers. But both Golden State and Sacramento have the tiebreaker over the Lakers, meaning the Lakers well might have to play a win-or-go-home game on the road. So, Wayne, would you rather see your Lakers play the Warriors or the Kings at Warriors or at Kings?
I'd much rather see them play the Kings at the Kings because it's the Warriors. You don't want to play the Warriors. They've experienced it. They've got Steph Curry over there.
Earlier. Yeah.
They have Steph Curry over there, period. And, you know, I can't say the same for the Kings. I respect everybody over there. You know, Fox, a beast, Monk, a dog coming on. I think he's still hurt, though.
He's hurt. And I don't think he's going to be back for the play-in time.
And they still have Sabonis as well.
They're
beasts as well. And they're also crazy at home with the whole, like, the beam thing. But that's still pretty fresh. And that versus Steph, I'm going to go with that all day.
Okay. Even though your Lakers have lost eight of the last nine to the Kings, and none of those eight have even been close.
It could have been 19 of the last 20. I'm still against Steph in the playoffs. What?
That's what I'm saying about the veteran.
You got to go against a GOAT.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
And it's a different player when it's these, when it's this situation, these playoff situations. That's a total Steph.
You got not only Steph. Clay, Draymond,
and he back crazy.
I mean, they just,
Money
the
Green
coach,
going back
everybody.
Crazy.
They just, they been there, they done it. Sacramento, they missing some pieces, and they've never been in that situation. And the one time
they were.
I was about to say, the one time they was in it, they couldn't finish the deal.
They got to game seven.
You know, but they couldn't finish it, and that was a one-game situation.
Home, they were.
And it was one game.
And they was at full strength.
And they had full strength, and Curry went off a 50 on them.
Yes.
All right. So you realize that you keep pointing out that just a year ago, it was Golden State and the Lakers in the second round, and it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
That you just ho-hummed them in six games. It went six.
But Golden State didn't look like this last year at the end of the season.
No.
They look different now than they did a year ago at the end of the season. So I'd rather take
they
on
was,
the.
They were still reeling off the.
They
Draymond
were the punch. I agree. And Jordan Poole was still
the
there.
Exactly. And so when you look at it though, Skip, going into Golden State, despite how they've played in the regular season at home, that place is going to be hard to play at, in the postseason.
Yeah.
It is. They is a different energy. You know, once that dude hit a couple threes, half logo threes, they're going to go nuts.
Also, they have a story this year. You know, they playing for brotherhood and all that this year. They trying to come back together, camaraderie.
Easiest path to the championship.
You don't need them mad. Upset them.
But you don't. I think you just made De'Aaron Fox mad and against the Lakers.
I said De'Aaron Fox was a dog. That's what I said.
All right, but you said you don't care if they won 19 of the last 20. And yet, I look at his numbers against you, he turns into Kobe Bryant against the Lakers because I've never seen anything like what he does. This year, he's averaged 33, 4, and 6. Over the nine games, he's averaged 31. You know and I know, he walks on the floor against the Lakers like he owns the Lakers, and it doesn't matter if it's at Sacramento or here in L.A. Over these last nine games, it looks like you have no answer for De'Aaron Fox.
LeBron James.
Okay, well, is that it? Is he going to guard him? Because I haven't seen him take him. He's not quick enough.
Skip,
I mean,
Skip, De'Aaron Fox is lightning quick. In these situations, though, Skip, you're talking about in the situation.
This
I understand that. Everything you said is true. But this is for, when it takes all. That's a different Brian out there.
But you got to remember, listen, if the Lakers stay in the 10th spot, they got to win not one game. So they get some possibility they can go to Sacramento
and then
go to Warriors.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll deal with that. We'll deal with it when it comes up from that standpoint. You just worry about what they're doing on the East.
Oh, we're going to be at home on the couch watching y'all fight for y'all playoff life while we sit around at practice.
Paul, y'all remind me of the Eagles.
No, like, don't
yeah, do that. Y'all remind me how the Eagles finished, how they went to the playoffs.
Really?
Like
every year.
They lost 6 of the last 7.
Ooh. And they get ready to lose 4. Wow.
This ain't, what I'm this ain't saying. Football. So I said you got to beat us 4 times.
You're right.
You got to beat us not
you're
1.
Right. No, you're right.
Not 2. Not 3. 4.
And as hard as, and Skip, a thing that you got to understand, which I think you do, because you created this. LeBron James has worked hard to be the 10th seed. Okay? So
well, I told you it's an advantage because it's another way to say I did something nobody's ever done.
So according to you, if he's worked this hard to be the 10th seed,
yeah,
he ain't trying to go home. Okay? He's trying to work really hard to get to the championship so he can say Michael Jordan never did this, according to you.
You keep telling me
he
had the greatest 39-year-old year ever, and I keep looking and I say, what did this coach you used to play for used to say, this guy named Parcells? You are what your record says you are. You're the 10 seed. Am I right?
But that's the record.
You are what you are, or not.
What Jordan was when he was at the Wizards.
Okay, but nobody cared.
Yeah,
he went there just to have fun.
Yeah.
He was smoking cigars and drinking wine.
This is fun. This is fun.
Okay.
This is very fun. Yes.
No, you are what your records say you are, but at the same time, there's teams, those other 9 teams that's looking down to the Lakers. They don't really want to see the Lakers.
I agree
with
that.
They want to try to avoid as much as they can.
I said that.
They want to try to avoid
Warriors. I was going to say when you said that about D. Fox. He don't want to see the Warriors neither.
No. Okay. I got it. I'm going to defend the Kings one last time here. I look at Sabonis over the last 9 games against your Lakers. He's averaging 19, 16 rebounds, and 9 assists. He's almost averaged a triple-double against Anthony Davis.
And that's why I said AD has to fix
that. He has to fix it.
He has to fix it.
And maybe in a one-shot deal, one time for all your playoff marbles, you got 2 hours, 2.5 hours, you got to go do that.
I don't see LeBron. I don't see LeBron allowing them to, in a one-game situation, lose to the Kings. I just don't see it.
Okay, and you agree,
right? AD came back.
I don't see it. They're going to get the whistle. I told you earlier, the Lakers got about 1,000 more free throws than the rest of the league.
They do.
AD back off his injury?
Yeah, he'll be back. For that.
I don't even know what the injury is.
Hurt visual.
He's probable.
Visual hurt. He can't see.
No. He was a little nauseous, but he's fine.
He had a headache.
He had a headache.
That's what they said the last game.
Are you
nauseous
and
headache?
Skeptical.
You got to hold your hand like that, AD.
Stop, man. Come on.
Pulse points.
Really? Okay.
It'll be all right.
All right. So how do you feel about the way AD responded to your call out early
Stop
in the season?
Stop saying that,
well,
man,
you called him out. I loved it.
First of all, the man wasn't responding to nothing I said. But how do I feel
disagree.
About how AD played after I said that?
Yes.
I feel amazing. I feel great. How do he feel? He should feel amazing about how he played.
He should.
So, which also, because he played that way, it make me kind of look at this injury he's dealing with right now. How serious is it? Because obviously
you are questioning.
Yeah, because he's been playing through everything.
All right, I'm saying
questioning as in it. Is it too serious? Is what I'm saying.
Well, you mean like it is seriously
serious?
Yeah, he's played through everything.
He played through everything this year.
Yeah, but he got hit in the face. This is his third time getting hit in the face this year in the same side. But
Paul,
at some point, though, Paul.
Please stop, Keith.
No, but at some point, it could be tender, man.
Look at all these tattoos in my face, Keith.
Man, I know. That's a needle, though.
Is it a broke orbital bone?
I don't know what it is. But if somebody pounding your face.
I get it.
If they pound in your face, it's going to be sore, Wayne. The man's face is sore.
Wait, what?
Pause.
Wait, what?
It's going to be sore.
We're done, man.
Yeah. Come on, man. Y'all are so bad.
He was super red.
So I told Skip, I said, once I saw that he had the red mark on his face.
Yeah, I ain't going to lie.
I know it was a little serious.
Yeah,
it was serious.
Yeah.
Come on, Paul, man.
Red mark on his face?
He did.
No, he had a red mark on his face.
He did. Yeah. Okay. He did, Skip.
Face always looks a little red.
No, he had a red mark.
And what that said, it does. You can see this one. I mean, when he went set down.
Is it possible he'll show up for the play-in game in a wheelchair? I got one for him. You did.
They put you in a whole new category when you this rich. I try to tell that this. Every time that told her not to nitpick, told her I'm